for those who recently completed the meditation retreat with Bhante Aryadhamaka. Much merit. That's great. I just saw a photo of all the people who are on the retreat. I was just talking to a friend in Canada, a Buddhist friend, and he was relating how he has this kind of favorite auntie who's 90 years old now, and her health is becoming quite bad, and she's probably going to pass away soon. And this auntie was the person who introduced him to Buddhism. So he was wondering what advice I might give. So I suggested a sutta for him. Actually a few suttas, but I want to read this one sutta out. So this is Anguttara Nikaya 7's Sutta 62. Do not be afraid of merit. Bhikkhus, do not be afraid of merit. This is a designation for happiness, that is, merit. I recall that for a long time I experienced the desirable, lovely, and agreeable result of merit that had been made over a long time. For 7 years I developed a mind of loving kindness. As a consequence, for 7 eons of world dissolution and evolution, I did not come back to this world. Okay, so he practiced for 7 years developing a mind of loving kindness. And for 7 eons of world dissolution and evolution, the Buddha did not come back to this world. When the world was dissolving, I fared on to the realm of streaming radiance. When the world was evolving, I was reborn in an empty mansion of Brahma. There I was Brahma, the great Brahma, the vanquisher, the unvanquished, the universal seer, the wielder of mastery. I was Sakka, ruler of the devas, 36 times. Many hundreds of times I was a wheel-turning monarch, a righteous king who ruled by the Dhamma, a conqueror whose rule extended to the four boundaries, one who had attained stability in his country, who possessed the 7 gems. I had these 7 gems, that is, the wheel gem, the elephant gem, the horse gem, the jewel gem, the woman gem, the treasurer gem, and the advisor gem as the 7th. I had over 1,000 sons who were heroes, vigorous, able to crush the armies of their enemies. I reigned after conquering this earth as far as its ocean boundaries, not by force and weapons, but by Dhamma. If one seeks happiness, look to the result of merit, the result of wholesome deeds. For 7 years, I developed a loving mind, O bhikkhus, and for 7 eons of dissolution and evolution, I did not come back again to this world. When the world was dissolving, I fared on to the realm of streaming radiance. When the world was evolving, I fared on to an empty Brahma mansion. 7 times I was great Brahma, the wielder of mastery. 36 times I was ruler of the devas, exercising rulership over the devas. I was a wheel-turning monarch, the lord of Jambudipa, a head-anointed Katya, the sovereign among human beings. Without force, without weapons, I conquered this earth. I ruled it by righteousness, without violence, by Dhamma, exercising rulership by Dhamma over the sphere of the earth. I was born into a rich family with abundant wealth and property, a family endowed with all sense pleasures and possessing the 7 gems. This is well taught by the Buddhas, the benefactors of the world. This is the cause of greatness by which one is called a lord of the earth. I was a king bright with splendor, one with abundant wealth and commodities. I was a lord of Jambudipa, powerful and glorious, who, even though of a low birth, would not place trust on hearing this. Therefore, one desiring the good, aspiring for greatness, should deeply revere the good Dhamma, recollecting the Buddha's teaching. Okay, so this is a sutta where we get to see an example of how practice can bring such a huge cornucopia of benefits. Cornucopia is a fancy word meaning like an abundant array, abundant results. a huge amount of results. So 7 years of effort went in, and then he had many eons of heavenly rebirths. Eons are very long. So that's a tremendous, you might say, return on the investment. Yeah, and there's a lot of depressing news. You know, it's not hard to see it, where we're facing a lot of environmental problems, you know, climate change, and there's not all that much effort to do anything different, it seems. And a lot of people, I think, are getting really depressed over this. And I feel that suttas like this are really important to try to reframe the situation, seeing the bigger picture. You know, what happens to us after we die? And the Buddhist worldview, of course, includes these other planes of existence, different heavenly realms. And the lifespans are very, very long in those heavenly realms. So Theravada Buddhism has this, you might say, kind of a critique of the world that is a bit pessimistic and cynical, that yes, it's characterized by dukkha, generally speaking. It's characterized by ignorance, generally speaking. You know, when I look at how the world cannot really seem to save itself from all the big problems, that critique resonates as true with me, you know? Like, there's many good people in this world. There's many individuals who are great examples of being careful and conscientious and generous. And, you know, there are many good people in this world. So let's not be depressed. You know, there are good people, and we should acknowledge them. We should appreciate them. But when you look at humanity as a big group, you know, you gather them all together as a big group, there is unfortunately a lot of, I guess, failure to come together and cooperate to solve the big problems, okay? We work well in smaller groups. That's always been how we are. Humans, for such a very long time, we were like hunter-gatherers, okay? Like, for the vast majority of our history, we lived in these small tribes of maybe 40 people, and maybe the tribes would come together for big festivals a couple times a year. You'd come together as a big band, and there might be a couple hundred people at that, at the big festivals. But after the festival's over, your tribe went back to wherever it would go gathering. And that's how we are sort of geared, you know, emotionally. That's how we're geared psychologically. That's how we're geared physiologically. Okay, that's really deeply built into us, is to relate on that level. And when you're a hunter-gatherer, that is, it works. We're actually not that different from, let's say, groups of like chimpanzees or monkeys or whatever. They do the same thing. But when you look at us in huge, huge groups, we just don't really have it in us to cooperate on a big level. Unfortunately, there is no fixing that stupidity. I wish there was a way. There have been some valiant attempts at fixing it on a bigger level, but it's really hard for those attempts to really take hold and spread right through the world. If you need some optimism in your life, by the way, if you're feeling a little bit down by all the bad news, and it seems there's nothing but bad news in this world, if you'd like to read a very nice book that's highly optimistic, I highly recommend a book called Enlightenment Now by Steven Pinker. Last name Pinker, P-I-N-K-E-R. He summarizes a lot of the advances and benefits that we got from like modern science and all this sort of thing, which did make the world a better place, you know, made our lifespans longer. Now we have less violence, less disease, less of a bunch of things when looked at statistically. Anyway, there are efforts to try to get us to cooperate together in bigger groups. But to get this to work globally is kind of stretching our nature a little farther than we can handle. It doesn't really spread everywhere. Sadly, yeah. So this Theravada worldview is a little cynical here, saying the world is characterized by suffering, dukkha, ignorance. By and large, there's not very good morality, you know, taken as a big group. There are even some really cynical suttas, I don't even want to mention them, which talk about how frequently people tend to get reborn in lower realms. It's very frequently just taken as a demographic, you know, as a big group. Most people will go to the lower realms, according to quite a few suttas that monks don't have the heart to ever read out to lay people. Anyway, but suttas like this one I read here are the inspiring kind, where it's like, well, but if we can practice loving kindness, if we can practice meditation, if we can achieve the jhanas, etc., oh, there's huge rewards you can get out of it. Huge rewards. So let's focus on that. Let's focus on the positive. Okay, so it's not just all bad news in Buddhism. For those of us who make an effort, we can achieve big results. Yeah, so again, much merit to all those meditators who just did a nice retreat here at SBS. So there are such people. This isn't just a theory. There are people who did that retreat, and I'm sure they achieved some good results too. Well, if we can even manage to get a heavenly rebirth with like even one eon, that would be kind of a low amount of a lifespan in a heavenly birth. They get even longer from there as the higher realms you go up. Even one eon would be a lot of time to let this earth heal, you know, from all these problems, all the environmental problems. If we went to heaven for a whole eon, all kinds of problems here would slowly sort themselves out. The environment might stabilize back to a more reasonable state again. And if we came back in an eon, it might be okay again. It might be kind of like all nicely healed again. Okay. Well, if there's nothing further, I'll just wrap up then. Mm-hmm.